It's easy to have faith when life is good. Faith in humanity, faith in the goodness and meaning of life, and faith that, behind it all, there is a real God who is with us and loves us. But then life happens. Real life. Hard life. Nothing turns out quite like we think it will. If you've been there, or if you are there right now, I get it. Boy, do I get it. And that is why I am glad you are here. Because when you and I choose to pull together rather than push apart, the very thing that held the power to destroy us becomes the means to helping us find the life and relationships we've always been looking for. I'm Michelle Cashatt, and welcome to This Undone Life Together.
Good morning, everyone. Michelle Cashatt here. This is my second Wednesday doing a live. I'm just so stinking proud of myself, because if you watched last week's video, you know that it's not easy for me. But hey, here we are. Super fun. So today, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about in just a moment. But just as a reminder, this is part of a new series of video, and actually we're going to push it out to podcasts as well, called This Undone Life Together. It's all about creating space for us to navigate, wrestle around, have a conversation about the difficult parts of real life. So real relationships, the things that have so wounded us or caused us trauma, and how to be able to leverage that and use that for leadership and influence and impact and deeper relationships with the people that matter most. So that's what this is all about. So we're gonna be talking about a variety of things. Some weeks it's gonna be a little bit more serious and intense. Some weeks it's gonna be a little bit more lighthearted, but I can guarantee you, regardless of the subject, I promise to show up and be as honest and straightforward and authentic as I possibly can be, and to do everything I can to share with you what I've learned in the process of my own trauma, healing, and recovery, and my own leadership experience, so that way you can take the lessons that I've learned, insights I've gained, and translate it to where you are leading in your corner of the world. So that's what all of this is. Side note, if you are not able to watch this entire live video, I do take this after we're done, and I send it all to YouTube. I've created a whole YouTube channel. My team is on it, developing it, and all that kind of fun stuff, but I send it all to a channel on my YouTube channel underneath the category This Undone Life Together, so you can catch any of these videos there after they're recorded, and you can share them from there with your friends. All right, so let's talk about today's topic. Today, I'm talking about something that our world is in short supply of. And I'm gonna tell you what it is, but I want you to hang with me, because there's gonna be some of you that are gonna roll your eyes the minute I tell you what it is. We're gonna talk about kindness. I know some of you all, I don't have time for this fluffy topic, but let me tell you, kindness is some of the hardest work that I have done. I would love to tell you that kindness is just instinctual, that we are all by nature very kind people. However, that's just not reality. Kindness is not automatic. Kindness is not instinctual. By nature of our species, we are like all survival of the fittest, right? And so kindness is not always a part of that. And so we have to, and then you add on top of that, let's get clear. You add on top of that the fact that all of us have gone through hard situations. We've been wounded at different times, some of us early in our lives, like in the first days of life, others of us throughout early childhood or late childhood or adulthood. And all of those wounds cause us to be more self-protective. It makes us want to, as Brené Brown would say, armor up, or as other people would say, put our guard up or shut down or withdraw or get hyper-vigilant or defensive, all those different things. And so kindness is not going to be our first instinctual response, especially when people are being difficult. Not that any of y'all or I could ever be difficult, but that's all those other difficult people. You know what I'm saying. So what is kindness, and how do we do that? And I've come up with five different kindness practices that are simple and small, and ways that we can start to learn kindness. However, before we get to that, I want you to know that kindness is sourced in a healthy sense of self-awareness, a healthy sense of self, and practice. It's a skill. I really do believe this. Kindness is sourced in a healthy self-awareness, a healthy sense of self, and it's also practice. For example, insecure people, very chronically insecure people may be able to do flattery, but it's very hard to do kindness for kindness's sake because we're always trying to gain our own sense of security, right? We're always trying to scramble and get our own sense of safety. So true kindness that is really about the person that we're connecting with and reaching out to, has to be sourced in our own health. That means we have to do, there has to be a lot of private work for you and I to become emotionally intelligent people, self-aware people, people who are owning our own crap, yes, owning our own crap and moving forward in our own step of health and wholeness and our ability to be able to wrestle through history and present and all that kind of stuff. So kindness, you can sit here and write down all of these strategies, okay, that I'm going to give you, these five different ways to practice kindness. You can be like a drill sergeant trying to practice them and get them done. But if you don't work on the core of your own sense of health, if you don't start wrestling with and facing the things that have wounded you or hurt you in some way, eventually your kindness practices, because they're not sourced in a deep well, will cause you to just simply burn out. You'll get frustrated and you'll quit. It's just all there is to it, okay? So keep that in mind. As we move forward, that these are practices. This is not a to-do list. This is not a, okay, hurry up and go out there and practice these things so you can be super kind and everybody will like you. By the way, that just reveals our need to chase after approval and affection, right? So remember that these kindnesses practices can be transforming for you and the people around you only if you are doing your own work to be as emotionally, spiritually, physically mature as you possibly can, okay? That is a private work. That's a work that you do. I shouldn't say private. I mean, we heal with each other, but that's an internal work before it ever becomes an external demonstration, all right? So make it a priority. Let me tell you, I spend quite a bit of time working on my own healing from past hurts and wounds, but also just the trauma, my cancer journey and the treatment that I went through. I was like this close to dying, and the recovery has taken me years. But the physical recovery, even though it took me years, was shorter than the emotional recovery. And so I've had to own that and be regularly invested in my emotional, spiritual, physical healing. Okay, so let's talk about kindness practices, all right? So first, one way to increase your kindness factor day to day is, and you are gonna be so mad at me when you hear this, I apologize ahead of time, you're gonna be so mad. One of the best ways and first things that you need to do to become someone who practices kindness on a daily basis is have a regular practice of forgiveness. Oh, dang, I hate that one because it's so hard. But here's how I say it. Unforgiveness eats kindness like fire eats wood, all right? If you have undealt with resentment and unforgiveness toward people, whether it's close relationships or just a stranger that offended you or some random person that you encountered, if you have this harboring resentment, it's not going to just come out toward that person. It's going to come out toward everyone. It is almost impossible to be a kind or regularly practice and develop that skill of kindness when you are harboring resentment and unforgiveness. So if you want to be a kind person, this is part of your internal work too, by the way. If you want to be a kind person, then practice regular and quick forgiveness. Learn how to quickly forgive. You know, own how you feel if somebody hurts you. Own it, name it, but then learn to forgive it and let it go. All right, whether or not the other person deserves it. This helps so much in your capacity to be able to offer kindness to those around you, right? And remember again, unforgiveness eats kindness like fire eats wood. Oh, good gravy, absolutely true. Okay, number two, second strategy. To notice, to simply become someone who notices what's around them. We have lost, I don't know if we've ever been great at noticing, but we have lost so much ability to notice the more that we've had devices. I get tired of people talking about this, but it's absolutely true. Our faces are in our phones. Even when we're standing in line at the post office or the grocery store or the school pickup line, our faces are in our phones and we've stopped noticing the people right next to us, right in front of us. We aren't paying attention anymore. And really, honestly, truly, that's a matter of being self-consumed. You know, our devices actually reveal our own consumption with the need to be entertained all the time. So somehow, to start practicing putting down your devices in places where you might be bored, I find that I tend to pick up my phone when I'm bored and waiting at a doctor's office or whatever. What would happen if I allowed myself to be bored for 5 or 10 minutes and instead started noticing who was around me, who was coming in, who was leaving, who was sitting next to me, starting conversations with people at times, but even just simply noticing. What happens is that when we start to notice the people around us and start to pay attention, we end up discovering needs constantly, needs that are around us that we didn't know were there. The amount of loneliness and pain in this world is shocking, okay? It's everywhere. We're missing it. We're missing an opportunity to add just a little bit of joy and connection and companionship with people because we are so self-consumed. And if you want to become someone who has a regular practice of kindness, we're going to have to push against that self-consumption. All right. So the first is forgiveness, to forgive. Second is to notice. The third is to pause. Pause. To pause. I am a high achieving, fast moving, chronically busy woman. I have 6 kids. I have a busy life. I have a full-time career. I have a husband who owns his own business. Pausing, I don't have time to pause. You know, that's what I tell myself. I gotta keep going or it's not gonna get done. However, that is not serving my value of connection and it's not serving my value of making sure every person I encounter knows that they are loved and seen. So I have to stop moving all the time and realize that pausing needs to be a to-do just as much as everything else. Pausing allows space to notice and to choose a response rather than reacting, all right? For me personally, I need to learn, probably where I need to learn to pause the most is in high intensity, high emotion conversations, whether it's with one of my children, my spouse, a colleague, a person who disagrees with me online, whatever it may be. Learning to pause allows me to choose a response rather than simply react. And what we want to do, we want to create a space between reaction and response. It is normal as a human that if somebody says something that pushes up against us and rubs us wrong in some way, that our body has you guys know what it feels like, right? When somebody says something that just irks you or you passionately disagree with or offends you in some way, you feel it in your bones. I mean, you feel it and something in you wants to retaliate, wants to be defensive, wants to respond. Or defend yourself some way. And so what we have to do is create a space between reaction and response. That space is called a pause. That space is called a pause. When we take even a few seconds, sometimes it's simply 5 to 10 seconds, when we take a space to pause, to breathe, we can then trump our instinctual response to be defensive or reactive and instead choose a response that is in keeping with our values. This has been one of the hardest practices for me. I don't know if you picked up on this, but I'm a verbal woman. I process externally, I process verbally, and I have made the mistake for too many years to process immediately as I'm receiving feedback or comments or information from the people right in front of me, rather than pausing and thinking. And so what's that done is I've ended up having many times where I regretted what I said in reaction rather than slowing down enough to create a response. So strategy number three for becoming a person who practices kindness is to pause. Simple as pause. We've got forgive, notice, pause. And then number four, smile. So simple, so very simple, but you would be surprised how hard it is to get people to smile sometimes. I walk, there's miles and miles of open space in my neighborhood right outside my window right there. And I pass people, dozens of people all the time while I'm out for a walk. And I try to smile at every person that passes me. Half of them don't even look up. I mean, because they're focused, they're busy. Many of them are on the phone while they're walking. But it is so hard at times to remember that simply smiling at someone is an act of kindness. You don't have to know them to smile at them. You don't have to know them to say, hey there, have a great day. It's good to see you. But smiling actually creates a physical response. Okay, your body reacts positively to smiling, which immediately impacts your mood, okay? Lots of research about this, absolutely true. You're smiling, even if you don't feel like smiling, triggers a biological response, which in turn changes your mood and helps your mood become more like what you're doing, smiling. And then what happens is there's this thing called mirror neurons, and that means when you smile at people, their mirror neurons reflect the smile that they receive. And so it increases their mood as well. It changes their mood. It's such a tiny, tiny thing, but it increases your capacity for kindness. And then finally, the fifth way to become a person that practices kindness on a daily basis is to celebrate. We are such a fast-moving culture. We move so quickly. We feel like we have to do so many things. We accomplish one task and immediately move on to the next thing that we need to accomplish. But here's the deal. Kindness is stopping to celebrate the many victories that you see in the people around you. But that means you need to do it for yourself too. We aren't good at doing for others what we don't also practice on ourselves. So become someone who learns how to celebrate many victories. Yesterday, I was talking to someone that I was coaching, and they were sharing with me that they had blown it in a particular situation, that they totally hadn't done this right, they had failed this, they had blown it, whatever. And I said, wow, you really learned something through that. It was a way to sell, to reframe what they had viewed as a failure as what a great lesson you learned from that experience. Wow, that's great. Let's celebrate that. There's a lot of people that go through life and never learn that lesson. You learned it. That's fabulous. You're paying attention. That was a way to create a mini celebration out of something that didn't feel like a celebration, but in the process, it communicated kindness. And ironically enough, it helped me to remember too that with the things that I failed, that I can celebrate those too. So it was kind of a reciprocal. It helped the other person offer themselves grace, but it also helped me offer myself grace as well. All right, so just to recap, these five practices to develop a, basically to increase your kindness factor in your day-to-day life, okay, kindness factor. And if you already feel like you are maximum on the scale of kindness, then bravo to you, but I am not there yet. You can ask my children. Okay, five practices. One, forgiveness. Unforgiveness eats kindness like fire eats wood. You have to have a regular, consistent, and quick forgiveness practice. People are going to wound you. That's part of life. People are going to do dumb things, say dumb things. Most of the time, they don't even mean to. They're just going to do it. Are you going to let that become a seed of resentment in you, which is going to eat away your capacity for kindness, or are you going to forgive and move on? Second, notice. Push beyond your self-conception. We all have it, every single one of us. Push beyond your self-consumption. Allow yourself to be bored. Allow yourself to have moments where you don't have anything filling your space. Lift your head up and pay attention. Notice the people around you and what's going on. Three, pause. Pause. when you're engaging in a difficult conversation, an intense conversation where you are feeling all the emotion bubble up, right? You're feeling the frustration, anger, irritation, you're feeling defensive, you're wanting to retaliate or explain or try to convince, I want you to pause. Just pause, breathe, and then think, how can I respond here that's consistent with my values? This doesn't mean that you become a doormat or you become meek or you don't have your own point of view, but how can you choose a response rather than being hijacked by a reaction? Next, smile. Simple. Everybody can do this today. Smile, even when you don't feel like it. I do things when I don't feel like it all the time. Add smile to that list. Just do it. It changes your mood and it changes the mood of the person in front of you. And then finally, celebrate. Learn to celebrate many successes every single day. Learn to reframe things to see the positive. See how even failures were great lessons that you learned. Learn to pay attention to people around you and things and notice the things that they're doing well, that they're working on improving, and celebrate it. Call it out. It's not hard to do. Just call it out and create a mini celebration. Okay, five practices. Now, before we go, I need to tell you, do not make this a to-do list. Do not sit there and try to do all of them 100 times a day. You will fail. Okay? First things first, make sure you are owning your own emotional, spiritual, physical journey to health. Make sure you're owning it because you cannot be kind if it doesn't come from a deep well. Second, pick one of these today. Just pick one. Maybe put them on a post-it note up on your wall or on your computer or in your car dashboard. Put these five. It's five words. Forgive, notice, pause, smile, celebrate. Easy peasy. Okay, post it somewhere, post-it note, whatever, and pick one. Pick one to practice today. Start practicing one of these a day. Find one person to practice this with. Eventually, it's going to become more of a habit. That's what we're aiming for. We want to create habits of kindness because we all know our world needs more of that. And I think rather than sitting around complaining about the problem, that we need to actually start making progress through being the solution. And that starts with individuals. Not hundreds and thousands and millions of people, but one person at a time. And that's what you and I can do in this undone life together. Thank you guys for joining me today. I always enjoy hanging out with you. I will be back here again next Wednesday, 9 a.m. Mountain Time, Instagram Live, Facebook Live, and as I mentioned earlier, this entire video will be posted on YouTube in case you want to watch it in its entirety later. I love doing this life with you. Thanks for letting me be a part of it. Have a great day. Whatever led you here today, I want you to know two things before you go. You aren't alone, not even close. And two, you matter and your story matters. We need you more than you know. Thank you for joining me today, my friends. Have a question or comment? Share it below, please. Do you know a loved one who could use a little hope and community too? Share this episode with them. And to be sure you don't miss our time together, subscribe to this podcast and my YouTube channel, and you'll be notified each time I post a new episode. Until then, brothers and sisters, I love you. And I love doing this undone life together.